Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad you've joined us today. And it's a joy every single Sunday at 3 o'clock Tampa time to come to you live from this radio station. And there are other live occurrences of this broadcast in other states. And we welcome every one of you. And those of you that are listening on the web, you are welcome too. You can always catch us at www.tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button. And here we are. Connie, you're right here with me. My good friend right beside me here, Connie Farmer. And Nan, all right. Nan, you're over here on the left.
I'm over here on the left.
All right. And Betty's going to join us in a little while.
Woo!
And yes, so we're excited about today's show. It's going to be great. And we always look forward to this time with all of you listeners. We talk about the Word of God. In fact, our slogan at Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what it's all about. The answers are in the Word. And we had a pretty good time at church today, don't you think, Connie?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a yes? Is that a yes?
Possibly.
Possibly. Nan, then I'm just going to have to ask Nan. Nan,
yeah,
what happened?
Ask Nan.
Well, I must say that I think the praise and worship practice was just such an awesome time. I mean, the anointing just started right there, and it just kept getting better with the morning service. But it was like having two services, praise and worship service and the morning service.
I looked at Nathan and said, well, we can go home now.
I know. Exactly. And it was, the practice was so amazing. I'm not kidding. The power of God. There was, the gifts of the Spirit were moving, mm-hmm. and it was just a powerful time. And then we actually had church after that. And
yeah, we had church after that.
Yeah, double church.
Yes, double church.
I had double church. I don't know about anybody
else. Like double stuffed Oreos, you know. It was
stuffed.
Stuffed with the power of God, Connie. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. And exactly. This series is called In the Power of the Spirit. And that's where the victory is. That's where the strength is, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so many people who don't realize that, who go through the life and not want the fullness of the Holy Spirit, miss out on so much, don't you think?
Yeah. First of all, they're not even sitting there so they can hear
right.
it
right.
and learn about it.
Right.
And then I don't know what can keep them away. But.
Well, I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit is so incredibly amazing, and that word amazing is used, overused, if you ask me these days. But what I mean by that is when God begins to stir our hearts and move in this radio show or in a service, it's just powerful how He speaks to our individual hearts, don't you think, Connie?
Yeah, you know, my favorite, I'm not even talking right now.
That's all right, go ahead.
One of my favorite songs, Listen to My Heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when words cannot express yes. the love we have inside,
right.
listen to my heart.
Yes.
And in that still, small spot
right.
that God owns, that
right.
hole
yes.
that only He can fill.
Right.
And that's where He speaks to us.
Right.
And He speaks to us right there and just gets you.
Well, He does, because so often we can get so tied up in the affairs of life, right, Nan? Where we get so bogged down, where we lose our joy, we lose our excitement about God, we just kind of go along. I think this happens to a lot of Christians. They kind of get in a spiritual rut, if you know what I mean. And then the Holy Spirit just comes through and surprises us and pulls us out of that deep place of depression or discouragement or defeat, sets us on our feet and says, wake up, you know, awake, you know, come on, dead bones, let's come together. We're going to prophesy to those dead bones. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, Nan.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, at times when I've felt depression and the Lord speaks to you, and I was just thinking, actually, I was thinking about you and Connie, how God also uses our brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage you. Both have encouraged me at various times when I was walking through just what seemed to be dark depression.
Right.
You spoke words of life to me. God used you guys to speak and
Amen.
Reach out to me, which is one of the advantages of having a church family.
It is. It is. And if this radio broadcast is your church family, then praise God for that. And we want to get to know you, and we want you to write us. Connie's got email up right mm-hmm. here in front of her, pastor@, you can just use my email. And it goes directly to me, and it's right here in the studio, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We want to hear from you during the show. It'd be great.
One thing I want to say, we had a visitor at church this morning.
Right.
And she kind of got away before I could speak to her after the service. But I did get to speak to her on her way in because she was arrived late. She came as a result of the radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh,
I had a chance
great.
To tell you all that. It was like, cool. You know, she heard the radio show and came to visit us because as a result
Fantastic.
Of this ministry.
You know, we're hearing from more and more people, and we'd love to hear from you out there in Radio Land today. And if you have your prayer needs, prayer requests, we invite you to email us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we'll get those. So many answers to prayer. Oh, my heavens. Connie, the praise reports are just piling in. Danny last week, yeah. You know, it had a stroke. And we got the email during the show.
We were turning the camera around, the screen around, so that people could see the pictures of her lifting her leg up.
Yes.
And she was discharged Thursday.
She was. And just a miracle. We just a big, huge praise God. The miracle working power of Almighty God. Some of you out there may feel dead today. If so, you've come to the right place, because by the end of this show, you will be living. I guarantee it.
Praise God.
Because the power of God, the anointing of God has been so strong all day. And as we laid hands on people for healing, God was doing a mighty work, Nan, in the service this morning. It's going to carry through right now. Even though we've just had a wonderful Cracker Barrel lunch, it's carrying right through
to
the radio show, don't you think?
Yeah, so one thing I sensed when the prayer was going on, it was for one particular person, it applies to all of them. It was like the Lord spoke to me and said, I've started the work here on the blue line
right.
of what this individual needs.
Amen. Amen.
That was, you know, pretty cool.
And the blue line is just a place that we put a line that's blue.
There you
across
go.
The front.
It's masking tape like you tape off to paint.
That's what it is.
But it's the wide one.
It's the big wide.
Right straight across.
And it's just a place for people to come and meet God. You know, it's just the blue line. Blue means healing. So you're not going to believe this first song that we're going to start with. It's a Chris Tomlin song. My son Ryan sent it to me a few days ago, and I just sat and wept as I heard it. Awake, my soul. Allow yourself to come alive right now as you listen to this new Chris Tomlin song.
Prophesy to the breath, prophesy. Your word gives life to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own, the only one who satisfies my soul.
Whoa, I come alive when you breathe on me. I speak to me, word of God, speak to me. That's a great song. And that's what we're talking about today. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and coming alive. I want to talk to you today about Acts chapter 9 and 10. Actually, this whole story starts in about Acts 9, and we're going to start there with the story of Aeneas and Dorcas. And we're in about verse 32 of Acts 9. Peter was traveling around the country, and he went to visit the saints in Lydda, and there he found a man named Aeneas who was a paralytic and who had been bedridden for 8 years. So Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Whoa, Connie and Nan, here's a man who had been paralyzed for 8 years. Now, I love the fact that it was eight, because eight in the Word of God means resurrection and new life, okay? So it's 8 years he's been paralyzed. Now, Peter is traveling there. He sees him. He's been bedridden, and he says to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately, Aeneas gets up. Talk about faith, Connie. Talk about faith. He just rises up.
Sometimes.
Okay, try it again.
Sometimes.
There we go. Okay.
That's better.
All right.
Sometimes it takes seeing something happen to make people build their faith.
Absolutely.
And it just takes that one person that steps out and takes the chance.
What if Peter would have not said anything to him? He sees him laying there, but just thinks, oh, well, he's paralyzed.
Sorry about your luck, bud.
Yeah, too bad, you know? Because I think a lot of people go through life like that, Connie, and they see needs in front of them, but they don't do anything about it, or they don't say, let me pray for you, or anything.
It's a condition of their heart.
Condition of their heart. And so,
if they feel led to, if they feel the burden, that's why I said condition of the heart. If they're burdened for people, to have what they have, then they're gonna be more apt to reach out,
absolutely,
and touch people.
I totally agree, but I think a big part of the problem that we face right now in churches and really in the evangelical world in general is that there's such a lukewarmness. In churches, and people are there for social reasons, or go ahead, comment on that, and I'll go to Nan.
Well, you know, it seems like it takes a crisis, a nationwide crisis, to bring people back to God. And yeah, so
exactly.
Everybody's back into that numb state. You know, from 9/11.
Yeah. The Newtown, Connecticut thing, crisis.
When that happened, I mean, I think that was that was a huge jolt. But for some people, it takes such a huge jolt to get them to get a grip, you know, I mean, just realize what they have in life and that life's too short.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
And God has to get our attention sometimes.
Yeah.
And in this case, Aeneas was certainly looking up to Peter and wondering what this was all about. Peter's talking to him and he says, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Talk to me about this, Nan.
There are sometimes, I think, when maybe the Lord speaks to us and, you know, in a miraculous way of doing something in our lives.
Right.
But sometimes it requires us taking action.
Absolutely.
And sometimes people become so complacent.
Right.
That they don't do what they're supposed to do in order for, I mean, like, this guy could have just laid there and said, oh, okay, sure, fine, that's great, you know, fantastic. Not gotten up and taken the action.
Exactly.
Walking. I think a lot of times that's the way people are in churches and just in the world general, you know, and, you know, just.
It's a kind of a complacency, a laziness, a settling for circumstances the way they are instead of reaching out in faith and wanting a miracle. Go ahead.
Well, and some people are just comfortable.
That's,
you know, their life's okay.
Yeah.
They don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
And, you know, some people who have stepped out to do things for God are almost immediately under attack.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if they're not strong enough in their yep. faith and what they have, their relationship with God, they're not going to be able to do the walk, and they can't stand being attacked.
Right. The devil does attack when we are stepping out in faith.
Right.
He does.
And it's
absolutely.
Not pleasant.
No.
Because he doesn't, he never, ever, ever will play fair.
No.
He is the worst kind of liar and cheat that you can ever imagine. And he uses tricks and uses people,
right,
important people in your life that you love and care about to hurt you.
Right. Absolutely. And there's probably some in our audience right now who are so beat up by life right this moment, maybe by those that are the closest to them that have been beating on them emotionally or even physically. It just seems like lately I've found out about some people even near to me in my life that are in such abusive relationships. And it's just amazing that people stay in those, Nan, but they do sometimes for a long period of time. We've got to get a grip. God is calling for a people who will rise up and say, no, it's not okay, devil, for you to do all this junk to me and twist my mind and my emotions. And it's not okay for those around us to treat us that way either, you know?
Well, as you guys are aware, I was in an
you
abusive,
were an abusive situation.
A marriage
yes.
situation.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes, I mean, many times the people don't get out of it because they're fearful.
Right.
You know, everyone has a fear of the unknown. I mean, almost everybody I know of just normally have a fear of the unknown.
Right.
And you don't know what's going to happen, which as we're Christians, as we're walking, we trust God by faith and he shows us next step. But when you're dealing with an abusive situation, you know, it's like, am I going to have enough money to pay the bills?
Right.
You know, you have the two people together. It takes both their incomes to make it. If one does, if you don't have access to the other person's, how are you going to make it? You know,
right.
that's probably why I stayed in it.
I think that's why a lot of people do. And, you know, this is a metaphor. This guy, Aeneas, being paralyzed 8 years is a metaphor for so many of probably our listening audience and those that we know that have allowed circumstances to just absolutely level them. He was laying on a mat on the ground, not able to move. He was paralyzed, but we know a lot of paralyzed people emotionally and spiritually. You don't have to be paralyzed in your body like Dani was last week, although now she's totally healed and on her feet and walking and talking, devil. But there's a lot of people out there, Connie, that are emotionally paralyzed and spiritually stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. And they're going nowhere, and they're going nowhere fast. And they're spinning in like a snow thing, you know, like when the
spinning
snow is
wheels.
So deep. Spinning your wheels, and all you do is just go deeper and
no
deeper.
Traction.
No traction whatsoever. And I really believe today's show is about walking, coming alive, walking in the power, amen, of the Holy Spirit, and realizing that God wants to pull you up off of your mat of sickness and illness and disease and emotional
depression.
Yes, your emotional stymie. With that in mind, let's look at this next one. So in verse 36, I believe, because I've got my tiny little Bible here. In Joppa, this is Acts 9, there was a disciple named Tabitha, okay? A woman who translated in our translation was Dorcas. Another translation was Gazelle. That was her name. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. Interesting that this woman was always doing good and helping the poor, yet something awful happens to her. Dear saints of God, sometimes awful things do happen to good people. There was a book written about that years ago, but there it does, right?
Yeah. Can I tell a real quick story?
You may. Tell a quick story.
I've been blessed with very good friends, and I got a call from her one day to tell me, please pray for Katie.
Oh, yeah.
Her daughter. And she was pregnant. She was 29 weeks. And something was wrong with the baby. And long story short, they ended up inducing labor, and she delivered, and they've had the funeral and everything. And
baby died.
Yeah. And at Christmas, I was so blessed to see Katie. I hadn't seen her for a while.
Oh, wow.
And we had some time where we were, it was just she and I just sitting
cool.
and talking.
Cool.
And I said, how are you doing? She said, you know, it's just one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, this side of heaven, we're probably not ever going to know
right.
what happened or
right.
why.
Right.
And I know you want to know why, but I think you just need to know that you are such a wonderful person.
Amen.
That this probably happened so that you, somebody else is going to come into your life.
Right.
That's going to need to hear how you got through it.
Absolutely. That's it right
and,
there.
And she looked at me and she said, I've been going to a support group. And she said, there's a girl there that I've met. And she said, she went through the same thing. And
wow.
we've been able to share things.
Praise God.
And I said, it's not good what happened.
Right.
But there's something good that can come out of it.
Absolutely.
And you're just the right person to do it.
Ooh, amen. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that we end up comforting people with the same comfort that we've been comforted. And Connie's teary today. It's good. If we can't get people to cry during this show, we are just not happy. Right, Nan?
Gotta cry.
But you know what? You're right on because...
Get ready, Betty.
Because the truth of the matter is that our circumstances that seem so awful at times mm-hmm. are used to bless other people. This man, Aeneas, that was bedridden, paralyzed for 8 years... All the world knows about this story. For 2,000 years, we've been talking. People have been preaching Acts 9, this story of Aeneas who was paralyzed for 8 years. And then when Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. And I'm going to boldly declare right now, people out there listening today, Jesus Christ heals you. He wants you healed. He wants you on your feet. He wants you doing things for the kingdom of God. He wants you to come out of your slumber and your sleep. And that's why that song that we started with today, Awake My Soul.
He healed me today.
He healed you today.
My soul is awake.
Ah. It is, I can tell. And you have just made testimony to that because you were on that blue line today and you were down on your knees and on that knee that got all banged up too.
It didn't even hurt.
Didn't even hurt you? Oh my gosh. And you were there and God touched you and you're a different person today, Connie, than you were yesterday. I can tell you that.
And this morning before I got there.
Exactly. And dear friends, God wants you to come alive no matter what the devil has done to discourage you, defeat you, and bring you down. Let's see what the devil did to Tabitha. Also named Dorcas, also called Gazelle. Here she had a lot of AKAs, also known as, she was doing good and helping the poor. Wait a minute. The devil attacks people that are doing good and helping the poor? Nan.
Probably sometimes more so than people who aren't helping people. Because he doesn't like you moving forward in the ministry that you're moving forward with and ministering to people. So he wants to try to stop that. So
absolutely.
He'll come against you. Absolutely.
I mean, we've been 12 years almost as Beacon of Hope, and we have been through some really rough things in the last couple of years. And I mean, it's like the devil pulls out the stops, you know, and you would think that he would stop, but he doesn't, because the more people we reach on this broadcast, the more people we reach in our services, in the nursing home ministry, in all the other things that we do at Beacon Hope, the more people we reach, the madder the devil gets, Connie.
Yeah, because we're building up an army against him.
Army.
Jerk.
Betty says it's going to be 10,000 strong.
At least.
10,000 strong.
And she's got all the horses for us to ride
she
on,
does she have said. The horses. I can't wait to find out about that when she comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Dorcas, Tabitha, a.k.a. Gazelle, was always doing good and helping the poor. And about that time, she became sick and died. Interesting timing. Sometimes we think the timing in our lives, that awful stuff that happens, is so bad. But guess what? It was the perfect time for her to die because here came Peter. He was right there. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Now, people, it wasn't that she was sick. She was dead. Okay? She was not sick, Nan.
She was dead.
She was dead. She was dead. Woo! I just didn't hear. Okay, so here she goes. And Lydda, this name of the town, was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, wait a minute, why did they go after Peter? They went after Peter because they knew that Peter had the faith to speak to a dead corpse. Ha ha! Woo! Speak to a dead corpse. There you go, Connie.
Get up.
Okay? They sent two men and they urged him, please come at once. So Peter said, you know what? I have a football game to watch today, and I really cannot go with you. You know, I'm sorry about your friend dying and all that. No, that's not what happened. No. Dan?
That's not what my Bible says.
What did your Bible say?
Said he went.
Yeah, and he arrived. He was taken upstairs to the room. And all the widows and those around him were crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas, a.k.a. Gazelle, a.k.a. Tabitha, had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed, turning toward the dead woman. Now, I find this great, because this is so interesting, too, in ministry, that Peter got the mind of the Lord here. Had the Lord said, you know, leave her dead, that's okay, that was my plan. But obviously, this was not God's plan that she had died. She got sick and died. Sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the devil. Acts 10, we're going to get to that, 38 says, and Jesus went about, how God anointed Jesus with the power and the Holy Spirit. He went about healing all, doing good, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Where does sickness come from, Nan? Here's your quiz. It does?
Yes.
You sure?
Positive.
So if it comes from the devil, should we gladly accept it?
No.
You're sure?
Positive.
Well, some of us, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor, and I remember this old guy standing up and saying, glory to God, I'm so sick. I got this, and I got that, but it's all to the glory of God.
No, oh, yeah. Oh, you I know, heard that line. That
it must be God's
Jesus.
Will. It's God's will that I'm sick. No. And I just, as a little kid, thought, you know, that doesn't make much sense. You know? And the older I got, I realized it doesn't make any sense.
None.
So it's not okay with God if you're sick and depressed and discouraged.
No, how can you be available in his army if you're paralyzed with whatever?
If you're
depression.
Time to rise up. Time to wake up, oh my soul.
Awake.
Woo! Speak to me, word of God.
Play that again.
We're going to have to play that again. Yes, we're going to have to. Because that's what it's all about, Nan. And so here's what happened. So first, Peter knelt beside the corpse, and he got the mind of the Lord on the situation, and he realized it was not God's perfect will for her to be dead. She was doing good. She was giving to the poor. She was doing all these things. And so Peter just calmly looks at her, and he says, Tabitha, get up. I love it. Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and seen Peter. Now, wait a minute. There was no, you know, anything weird about this. There wasn't any, yeah, he didn't do any compressions or any of that stuff. He just said he spoke to her. The power of our words, Connie. Oh, wow. The power of our words. He just looked at her and he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes. Go ahead.
And you know that when you say those kinds of things, we're also saying in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
Stand.
Stand.
Stand right. Up, get up, whatever.
It's the name above every name. That's the authority that we are saying something like that mm-hmm. to her. Mm-hmm. Tabitha, get up, you know? And, you know, the body, the physical body had to acquiesce to the faith realm that was coming from Peter because he got the mind of the Lord and then he spoke into the situation and the physical body had to respond. Just like when you were kneeling today and we were anointing you with oil and praying over you, Connie, mm-hmm. your physical body has to come in line with that because that force, the force of our words and the force of the power of God, His Holy Spirit, is stronger than the junk going on.
Nor, you know, that's the first time I've ever knelt.
I noticed that.
But I just felt like that's what I needed to do.
Praise God. And on that bad knee. And God took care of you.
Both of my knees are bad, but they're not anymore.
Woo!
They're healed.
How about that, Nan? Nan, it's time for you to get excited over here.
I'm excited.
Okay.
I am excited.
All right. So
notify your face, Nan.
Sorry. But you know, can I show you something right there?
Please do.
Connie, you were the one when we were praying for you.
God spoke to me and said, I've started.
Now Nan's crying.
My turn.
You were the one. God spoke to me and said, I have started something on this blue line for her. I have started it right here. It starts. And you were the one I was referring to. I was like, I'll have to tell her that later. You know, I didn't plan on doing it on the radio show crying, but oh well.
Well, of course. You should cry like that. Is Betty on yet, Cedric? She is. Hey, Betty.
Her and Megan are crying at home.
Oh, Megan, you're there too? I'm amongst crybabies here on the radio today. Can you hear these crazy women?
Yes, I can.
Betty.
Do you still love these crazy women?
Oh yes, I'm starting to call you guys my BFFF, best friends in Florida.
Oh well, how sweet is that? Okay, all right. Well, we could think that way about you too. Megan's there with you?
No, she's they're out shopping.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay, she texted me. Okay. Maybe she was listening.
All right, she was listening. Okay, so Betty, we are calling Dead Ones to Rise today. It is time to rise. That song, Awake My Soul, you know, breathe on me, breath of God, speak to me, word of God. What are you thinking about all that? You've been hearing what we've been saying, right? And have you been listening to these two cry?
Yes. In fact, you probably have three crybabies here in just a little bit.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. I think it's a cleansing. Getting us
definitely
ready for what the Lord has for us.
Right. Amen. Amen. So here we are with this Tabitha, you know, and here she is. She's dead, and her friends are weeping over her. Peter puts his friends out of the room, and he speaks to her and says, "Get up," and the physical body, emotional body, all of that had to get up, Betty.
He did. And, you know, it's his word is as powerful today as it was back then.
Woo!
It's like what Jesus says, Jesus will do. And when Jesus tells you to pick up your mat and walk,
right,
you walk.
Exactly.
Like we have our, I guess the closest person to us was Miss Dainey.
Yes.
And, you know, we prayed, and that is the power of prayer. Today is just as strong today as it was then.
Yes.
And it's going to become stronger, and people are going to see miracles such as this. Is when Peter told her to get up and walk. You know what? We're going to be able to do that through the Lord's power and speak to people just like you did today, just like you did with Connie.
Exactly.
And it's absolutely amazing. It just
right.
it makes you weep because, you know, God is working, and he wants to do a mighty work in us.
Oh, he so does. And he doesn't want us to be afraid to proclaim and declare, Betty. I think for so long, a lot of us in Christendom, you know, in churches, we just want everybody to not think we're too weird or too out there. And I've declared war on that whole thing, and I don't care how weird or how out there I appear to be, or we appear to be at Beacon of Hope, because believe me, today, Betty, I did not preach the sermon that I was going to preach at all. It never, ever, never even went to that chapter, nothing. It was just like, okay, you know, we were on a different place in God today, and God moved mightily in people's lives, and that's what it's all about, don't you think?
Oh, yes, and I think the word that you're looking for that a lot of people call us is radical.
Radical.
Sign me up.
And it's like, I want to be radical. I want to be that kind of person for the Lord, because I think that he will see our deep desire.
Yes.
Our closeness, the closer we get, the more radical we get.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that it's awesome that the Holy Spirit took over your service today, because I would love to be able to sit in that type of atmosphere and know that the Lord's presence is there, rather than reading from a piece of paper. It means so much more. I think there's more power in those type of services because the Holy Spirit is there.
Well, I had people coming to me afterwards, Betty, that said that the word that came forth was exactly what they needed to hear. And it's like, when we get on board in this radio show and in church services and in our personal lives on a daily basis, when we get on board with God's plan for that day, Jesus calling had, was it to Jesus calling today was so good. Do you have that with you?
Yeah.
Connie's going to read that in a minute, because it was so good about the plans that we try to make during our day, you know, and how that's not what God wants for us to do at all. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, I think that we have this way of wanting to go our own way.
Right.
want We want to take the path that we want to take because we think that it is a lot better,
right?
Because it happens more. It happens more quickly if we would just sit quietly and wait on the Lord. His road is better paved. There's no ruts. There's no potholes. It's straight and it's straight and it's right on and it goes right where he wants you to go.
Right.
I would rather be on that road, and I've done it myself. I've taken my own way, but you know what? Sometimes I always end up in a dead end.
Right.
And it won't happen that way if you let the Lord lead your path.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. You got it, Connie?
Yes.
Oh, she's going to read this, Betty, and then you can comment. Go ahead.
Try to view each day as an adventure, carefully planned out by your guide. Instead of staring into the day that is ahead of you, attempting to program it according to your will, be attentive to me and to all I have prepared for you. Thank me for this day of life, recognizing that it is a precious, unrepeatable gift.
Yes.
Trust that I am with you each moment, whether you sense my presence or not. A thankful, trusting attitude helps you to see events in your life from my perspective.
Yes.
A life lived so close to me will never be dull or predictable. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth?
Expect each... That wasn't written that way, but anyway.
Yeah.
I can just do commentaries.
Go ahead.
Expect each day to contain surprises.
Yes.
Resist your tendency to search for the easiest route through the day. Be willing to follow wherever I lead. No matter how steep or treacherous the path before you, the safest place to be is by my side.
And that is so right on. And that's from Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, which we recommend that you go buy that devotional at Walmart or Christian bookstore someplace. It'll change your life. Betty, comment on that, because there's so much truth right there in that.
Yes, and I think that if there's a song that just day by day, just take it day by day, and I think that we kind of get ahead of ourselves in our own lives is because we see that, you know, we've got to get this done, we've got to get this done, we've got to get this done.
Right.
But, you know, in Jesus Calling, when he talks about surprises.
Right.
Surprises can be from the tiniest little thing to a financial blessing to a church that needs it. And it's just, we get so anxious when we have to change our mindset to let God move in our lives and to not be afraid.
Well, you're right. Go ahead.
It's tough. It's hard. It's hard to sit back and know that, you know, there's bills that need to be paid. There are there's people in our lives that are hurting. But if we trust and have faith and believe in God, they will come in that Kairos moment. They will come in time. He has never failed, and I can speak for myself, and I can also know someone else that's very close to me that God has been there in that, just, you know, I mean, it couldn't have been more of a minute second that he was there. He was there for Connie this morning.
Right.
He's been there for Nan. He's been there for you. And he's also been there for me. He's been there for Megan. He's been there for Ray. Everybody. I mean, at some point, there is a testimony that anyone can attest to that God has been there for me the whole time.
He really has. And think about Tabitha, who's laying there as a corpse up in the upper room. And all her friends are gathered around crying, and yet God's got a different plan than what the friends thought. The friends thought they were getting ready for a funeral. We got to go bury this corpse. And God's got a plan that totally upsets the friends' lives. And, of course, Tabitha, who's there dead, has to come back to life because God's not finished with her yet. And I'm proclaiming right now in the name of Jesus that some of you out there are dead, and it is time for you to fall in line with coming alive in the Spirit of God. Woo! waking up, amen, and coming alive into the things of God and allowing God's Holy Spirit to breathe on you and not walk around under your circumstances, but instead sit as this devotional said, and wait on God for the answers to your issues and just praise Him, thank Him before you ever see the plan, because He does have a plan. God's getting a lot of glory out of Danny's healing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was an inconvenience to be in the hospital and have to go through a bad stroke and all of that, but it's sure a great praise report to know that God Absolutely. Has healed her and set her on her feet.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Woo! Betty. Connie, you want to talk about that?
What do you want me to say?
Oh, that's okay. What do you want me to say? I don't know what I want you to say. But
you didn't send me the cue card.
No, we don't have cue cards. We don't have a plan. But the point here is there are some of you out there in radio land who need to come alive and come and wake up today into the things of God, that God's got a plan for your life. We're going to talk more about it in Acts 10 in a minute. Let's do this song, and then Betty and Connie will be back. Let the Waters Rise by Mike's Chair is the name of the group. Mike's Chair.
Mm-hmm. Don't know where to begin. It's like my world's caving in. And I try, but I can't control my fear. Where do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away. But I am willing to go where you want me to. God, I trust you. There's a raging sea right in front of me, wants to pull me in, bring me to my knees. So let the waters rise, if you want them to. I will follow you, I will follow you, I will follow you. Storm and the calm of the sea. You're never out of reach. God, you know where I've been. You were there with me then. You were faithful before. You'll be faithful again. I'm holding your hand. There's a raging sea.
Song. Wow. That's a great song. I will follow you. I'll swim in the deep, but you'll be by my side. I mean, that is great words and great sound. That drums. Oh, my. Praise God. I will follow you. That's got to be the attitude of our hearts. Betty, at some point in this worship that just went wild this morning, we were singing I Surrender All, I Surrender All, that old hymn. You know, and it's all about saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say, I'll be. I'll surrender to your lordship in my life. It's all about that, Betty. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that song because this morning out in the barn.
Betty hangs out in the barn with her horses and her dogs and her cows.
And Lord only knows what else.
Isn't it kind of cold out there?
Do what?
Cold. Isn't it a little cold out there?
Yeah, and I suppose you guys are probably in shorts.
Well, yeah. It's in the 80s. Just
well,
saying.
It was in the 60s yesterday. Now, today it's dropping down to 40 and then down to freezing. And so we have a cold front coming in. So I'll be taking the trash out in the rain.
Oh, yes. Connie and Cedric have on shorts. I got to say that. I mean, yeah.
That's sad.
Okay, so go ahead. We're sorry. We didn't mean to upset you.
The word surrender came up in just in the praise time, and the horses and the dogs look at me like, "What is she doing now?" Is that when
you should be
Connie,
used to it?
Yes, they're used to the loud music and the shouting and the praising God. You can praise God anywhere, but the Lord brought something to mind about surrender. Is that there's room at the foot of the cross.
Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen.
And when I heard you talk about, Connie on the line today, that, that brought about weeping.
Yes.
Nan's next.
Well, good. Nan needs it.
There's going to be a mighty work of God through that ministry in the next few weeks.
Yes.
And it will come through surrender.
Yeah. It does come through surrender.
The dry bones that a lot of people are feeling, the desert that people are in, there's going to be some living water come through those deserts for people that are willing to put their foot in and receive it. But, that the surrender, giving it your all is something that, even, being a Christian for a long time, we get kind of lethargic and complacent.
Right.
And our bones do become dry. We still have flesh upon us, but our bones become dry. Our eyes don't see. Our ears don't hear. And the word surrender is probably the word of just, in the next, in this hour is surrender.
And I totally agree with you. And I think that I'll just say from our personal experience this morning, as we gathered to do a rehearsal prior to the morning worship service, and we began to sing those songs. As we began to worship, Nathan went into one that we weren't even planning on doing and didn't do. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. And as we were beginning to do that, God loves it, Betty. God loves it, Connie. When we worship and when we come out of our own selves long enough to enter into his presence in that mighty way, then we get answers to our problems. We get lifted up out of the depths of discouragement, depression, illness, whatever it might be. But it requires that we take the time, like you're talking about, Betty, out in the barn, when we take the time to worship him and surrender our time, what else we could be doing right then. Surrender that moment to God and let him talk about this, Connie, and then we'll get back to Betty.
Well, today when the worship, when we just started rehearsing, sometimes we're just like frogs, and a lot of times I'll sing bass at first.
I know, me too. Oh,
because
man.
I just can't hit those notes, and I'm not singing that into the mic.
Right, I know.
And it just started to roll.
Yes.
And I haven't felt like that. Betty, I haven't felt like that in months. And I was telling I was telling Pastor before the radio show, I said, I just haven't felt it. And even though everybody else says, God's here, and yes, I know when he's here, and I believe that. But he was there. He was standing beside me, holding my arms up, letting me scream, let me yell and yoop and everything. And that we honestly could have gone home after rehearsal.
We could have.
It was done.
But then there was so much more that God did.
True. Obviously, I wouldn't have been on the blue line. So
right, exactly. And because it took more entering in. Sometimes, that's a really good point, Connie. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just start to enter into the presence of God. life calls. We have to go this, do that, take a phone call, do this. And we don't get back to it like we really need. Sometimes it's okay. I've told myself this many times. It's okay to let a phone call go to voicemail, you know, once in a while. Because right. if we're, especially if we're in that place of worship, we need to go with that. Betty, talk to me. I believe that when, by the way, before you say this, that I believe that when Tabitha was laying there dead, that when Peter talked to her and said, get up. She didn't sit around and think, I don't know, I'm not sure. Should I be dead? Should I be alive? I mean, when we speak to these dead bones, they are going to revive. That's my point.
I believe that 100,000, 10%. That's probably not a numerical number, but
who cares?
If you look at someone, we just had a funeral in our family, and I can't imagine. First of all, in my mind, is someone saying, get, you know, raise up, be alive, come alive in the name of Jesus,
right.
is what their friends thought.
Oh.
It's like, I mean, they were mourning. They were probably, you know, the thought of missing Tabitha, Gazelle. What were we going to do without her?
Right.
You know, and they had already probably pre-planned the next day
right.
what they were going to do without her.
Without her, yeah.
And then it's like, whoa, arise, you're yeah. alive, you know? I mean, could you imagine the rejoicing, the praising that went on during that time, in just that, probably just a few seconds of like, oh my goodness. And I would have danced and praised God right there. Because that is just something that, and we're going to start seeing that.
Absolutely.
In the next weeks, next days, weeks, months, years,
yep.
however long it takes, we are going to start seeing that. But it's going to take us getting our bones refreshed, alive, serving the Lord without hesitation.
Woo! Right on. Connie, comment on that.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, think of the person that you've lost in your life. That you would the most want to see
mm-hmm.
by your side, your mm-hmm. your friend, your loved one, whatever, and mm-hmm. and how that would make you feel.
Yeah.
And that's the way they felt. Because she was such a good person in doing all these things.
Exactly. And why not be bold enough? I'm throwing this at you, Betty. Nan's still over here, working over here
on her
typing away. And Connie and Cedric. And why not believe God that when we know somebody in our life who is in the pit of depression, discouragement, defeat, they may be suicidal, they may just have no reason to live, they just feel like their whole life is falling apart. Why can't we reach out and believe God for the miracle that that person needs? Why can't we speak words of life? Why can't we come alongside them with the power of the Holy Spirit and say, God can move in this situation? Why are we hesitant to do that? Why are we not more bold with our faith? Connie, you're first, and then Betty, comment.
Well, ouch. I think we need those dry bones to
yes.
get up and do what
yes.
we need to do. And I think sometimes we hesitate because we don't know how it's going to be received or whatever. But that's part of the dry bone stuff. It's the complacency. Well, you know, maybe somebody else will come along. Or I'll tell pastor to pray for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's always, you know.
I know.
You call pastor. Let's call pastor and have her pray. Why don't you just pray?
Right. I thank God, you know, that you guys do that and praise God, but it's time for everybody to start doing that too.
Well, I call you for prayer when there needs to be a prayer of agreement. Which,
right, sure.
Which really all prayers need
absolutely.
Prayer of agreement. So,
right.
But I call you and say, agree with me in prayer on this.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Pray for this.
Because I'm not going to. No, right. You don't do that. No. Betty, talk to us.
Well, you were talking about praying. Is I think people won't minister to other people because they're afraid of rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not courageous.
They're fearful.
They're fearful of.
It's just like it would be me praying for a stranger,
right?
And it's I take it back to the time when we were down in the beautiful state of Florida.
Mm-hmm. The warm
and
state.
And we had taken Bailey Boy.
Uh-huh.
And Megan ministered to that.
I was thinking about that earlier, too, that incident.
Who their puppy was going to over the Rainbow Bridge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it took the faith, the sight of a mustard seed, for that girl, because I know my girl, and mm-hmm. she was fearful to go and pray for them, because here they were, we were in public. We were in a public place. This room was filled with people with animals. But it just took that much faith, and the Lord just pushing her to the point of, go on, Megan. But I can also tell you that in that instant, that the devil was there saying, don't go talk to them because mm-hmm. that won't do any good. That dog's already dead. I mean, I could just hear the conversation going on. But guess what? The Lord's voice was much more powerful, because she had that down in her spirit. She has that Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was drawing her to those people. And what a blessing it was. It was a blessing to her.
Amen.
Because she got to give someone a word of encouragement.
Yes, yes.
During a time of mm-hmm. Distress,
yes.
and pain, and it just took that one step. Just take a step of faith, people. Walk over to someone who you know is hurting and suffering. In fact, right now, if I could come into that radio station, I would lay my hands on Nan, and I would tell her how much God loved her and how much he was going to use her.
Mm.
And I would lay hands on Marcia, the pastor of Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I'm telling you, do not give up. You walk in that step of faith. You take that stand that you need to take. And I would tell Connie, you have come out. Your bones are no longer dry. That's what it takes. It takes a step of faith, and it takes boldness to be able to do this, because I was never that way. I could never at one point go over and lay my hands on anyone.
Right.
And because the Bible tells us to go lay hands on people,
yes.
and they will recover. But
right.
people just aren't accepting of some of those gifts.
Well, I find it interesting, Betty, because all three of us were at the vet that day with Bailey, my dog. And I don't know about you, but I didn't even notice that whole scene going on over there, those people getting ready to put their dog down. But Megan did notice it. And God did speak to her heart, and she did courageously go minister to those people when she could have just ignored what was going on the other side of the room that I didn't see. I was taking care of Bailey, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are made aware of a need, we need to act on it. Faith is acting like God told you the truth. And if God told you the truth and his word says, go lay hands on people, do this, then look out, because God is getting ready to do something. God told Peter, speak to the dead corpse. And he did. He just turned around and he said, get up, Tabitha. And she got up. And with that said, we'll come back in a moment. We got to do some station ID. Betty, don't go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
That is. Welcome, all those other
that's like
states.
45 seconds. Isn't
right.
It?
All those states that hear us live. We've heard from some of you people in those areas, and we welcome you to contact us. Pastor, that will get my email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. In fact, it's the email is up right now if you want to make a comment or just a shout out or whatever you want to do, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Our website is beaconofhopeministries.com. That's www.beaconofhopeministries.com. All these radio shows for the last few years are on our website. Go and listen. Great way to hear the word and learn. And last week, Connie, was a very special day, wasn't it?
300th show.
Our 300th show. So today is
301.
And seriously, guys, it's amazing. It is amazing, Betty. This April we will complete 6 years of being on the air every single Sunday live. And not missed one. And I praise God for that. And not only that, God has supplied the money. We put the money in the box before we come on the air. And God has done this. And if you want to be a partner with us, it's good soil. Plant your finances, your tithes, your offerings into the soil of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are not just reaching many, 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 many people through the airwaves and through this show that stays on our website. I mean, countless numbers of people. We won't know till we go get to heaven about all that. But there's a nursing home ministry that we do the first Sunday of the month. There's the services, and there's Bible study on Wednesday night, the morning worship. There's all kinds of things that happen. The prayer ministry. The prayer ministry is huge, Connie. Last Saturday, we hit a high water mark a week ago Saturday on the prayer number of prayer requests that came in 1 day. That's been our high
18.
That's our high water mark. And we thank God for those of you that reach out to us, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and get prayer for your need. And then the praise reports that come in are just amazing and wonderful. I don't know about y'all, but I think it takes courage to be in the ministry. Do you think it takes courage, Betty, to be in the ministry? You've been in the ministry with me for how long now? As you and Megan were part of my church that I pastored in Indiana so many moons ago. Mm-hmm. So does it take courage to be in the ministry?
Oh, and, you know, I daily, if not two or three times, I ask for courage.
Yes.
For you and for the people of Beacon of Hope and for the people around in the United States and overseas, that it takes courage, it takes faith, it takes a lot to stay in touch with the Lord 24/7 like you do as a pastor. And it warms my heart to know that you have that kind of prayer support, and that when someone asks someone at Beacon of Hope to pray for them, they do.
Oh, absolutely. It's a and huge it's, group that prays.
It's a vital part of ministry.
It is.
That we need to reignite.
Amen.
On a national basis to help people realize that God is not dead. God is alive, and He is wanting to help each and every one of us with whatever we're dealing with, and to draw closer to Him.
You know, Betty, along that line, God showed you there would be a mighty army of 10,000 warriors praying at the same time. If you want to be one of those warriors, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, right?
That, or just do a search for Beacon of Hope. And excuse me, we put... It's Beacon of, and then Hope itself is actually in big letters or capitalized.
Okay.
So just do the search, and you should be able to find it. You'll see a picture of a beacon, and there's a bunch of colors around the...
So if you want to be a part of this new 10,000 force army, go to our Facebook page and say, sign me up for that. Because we are believing God for 10,000 people are going to start praying, mm-hmm. and then we're going to start telling you what your assignments are. Woo, we got to have a song here, and I think it's fitting that we are ready for this song, Betty and Connie, by Casting Crowns,
oh, no. Courageous.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. On the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. I'm not
seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with
in
you.
In the war of the mind, I will make my stand. In the battle of the heart and the battle.
Time to become courageous, dear people. Joshua chapter 1. This is not where we were going right now, but we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Funny thing there. Joshua 1 verse, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8. Uh-huh. 6. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Dear saints of God, God is calling each of us to be strong and courageous because there are people that are in our lives that need to be led into the land that God has for them. Whoa, be strong and very courageous. He says in verse 7 of Joshua 1 to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law, that's your Bible, depart from your mouth. In other words, dear ones, we need to be speaking it. We need to be meditating on it. That's the next word, meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous. When will you be prosperous? When you're meditating, when you're reading the word, when you're thinking on it, when you're praying on it, when you're letting that word get down on the inside of you, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? He says it again and again and again. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. That is the Rhema word of the hour right now, Connie and Betty, for this show. Be strong and courageous. And actually, if we would have gone into Acts 10 where I thought we were going to go, Peter had to be strong and courageous and take a big step of faith to come out from under the control of the Jewish people and say that God had not only called the gospel for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. So it took courage. So this really does fit into where we were going. But the word courageous in the Hebrew means this, Betty, so I want your comment. To be on your feet, observant, alert, ready to move, ready to act, with clear-cut direction. Courageous.
You sure you want me to talk right now?
Are you crying?
No, no.
Okay.
Weeping is more the word because it, I think sometimes when, it's just like with me, you think that you're not worthy enough to be used by the Lord.
Right.
That you think that you found your niche. It's just, you know, being someone who kneels quietly in their room and prays.
Right.
But when God calls you to a specific purpose,
right,
He gives you that courage. And it may not come all at once. It may not come like a flash of light.
Right.
You may not even realize that you have it until you step out in faith.
Right.
And say, hey, Pastor, I had this vision, and I haven't had a vision in a long time. And one of the things that always kept me from stepping out was fear. And I can't imagine, you know, with Peter, the Lord told him, I'm going to tell you to go into this city, and you're to raise these people from the dead.
Right.
But Lord, you did that. Can I do that?
Right. Amen.
Yes, you can.
Yes you can.
And he had to have that courage to be able to step into that room of people weeping and mourning and crying and saying, Tabitha, get up.
Exactly.
take up your bed and walk.
Yes.
I mean, but Lord, you said that. Can I do that too? Yes. Well, you know what? He tells us that today, Pastor.
Amen.
We have that power,
right,
to be able to say, give a word, pray for someone. If you don't have the courage, find it. And like you said, praise on our knees with lifted hands,
right,
and asking God, God, what do you want me to do? What? How can I best be used by you?
And when we do that, when we come to God with that kind of an attitude, God will open doors of opportunity. Connie, how many times do you find yourself in the hospital where you work, ministering to people, babies, you work in the NICU, so babies, people, parents, whatever, a kind word, a hand on the shoulder, a touch, and they are being touched by God Almighty just through you, through your voice, through your hands, through the prayer that's going up as you pray, maybe silently for that child, mm-hmm, but you're doing the Lord's work right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an awesome feeling, too, because, you know, people, some of the nurses just get used to me standing by the bedside more than usual.
Right.
You know, because most of the time they do that when we're doing our work and doing our rounds, you know, we just do what we need to do and then go on to the next,
right,
baby.
Right.
And sometimes I just linger at some of the bedsides and, you know, we're for whatever reason, technology, whatever, we're saving babies now that are, when I first started in respiratory years ago, those babies would be delivered and mom would hold them until they died. And nowadays, I mean, we've had as young as 22 weeks.
Wow.
Gestation.
Wow.
That's half.
Right.
That's just a hair more than half of how old, wow, they should be when they're born.
Wow.
Because it should be 40 weeks.
Right.
Okay. And 26 weeks was always sketchy. And, you know, 30 was touch and go. I remember my sister's twins were born at 36 or 37 weeks, I think.
Right.
And they were fine. They had some oxygen, but... still, there's so many challenges that people face. And you know, not just because they're babies, but because there's plenty of people in the hospital that it's not a child that's there. You know,
right,
in adult hospitals, there's plenty of people suffering.
Yes.
But just to be able to spend time with people and at least put a face to,
yes,
or put a maybe a hug to.
Just like what we did last week at nursing home,
mm-hmm,
you know, and some of those dear ones are so close to meeting Jesus and just singing those songs and hugging them and telling them how much Jesus loves them and all of that. It just, that's kingdom business.
Well, you know, we, in just the time that we've been there, we've already lost a couple, three people.
Yeah, several. Yeah.
You know, and they were vibrant people in, you know, in the worship.
Right.
And
several.
And, you know, I guess I just challenge people right now. If you love somebody, tell them.
Right.
You know, and if you care about them, let them know that,
right,
they're important to,
right,
you in their life. And because we're not promised tomorrow.
No.
You never know how long before Jesus comes.
No.
And I've learned, in especially in the last few years, and I've lost some very special friends, and life is just so short.
Absolutely. It
Are
is.
Are you drinking a Coke, Betty?
Yeah, Betty's drinking a Coke. We heard you, Betty.
Did you?
The ice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's cute.
But, you know,
what crying does to you, it makes your throat dry.
That's right.
I know.
You crying too?
Yeah.
Talk to me about what Connie's saying here.
Well, I think, and I will tell you guys, Connie and Pastor Marcia and Nan and Cedric and all of those listeners out there, how much that God loves you.
Yes.
And I love you guys. I know when we met for the first time, I thought that Connie was the meanest woman I'd laid eyes on because she was so mean to Nan.
I was teasing Nan.
Mean to Nan.
We're all mean to Nan.
I mean,
I've never been mean to Nan.
Just teasing
Nan, I want you to know that, and you know that, too.
Everybody but Betty was mean to Nan. Yeah, and Megan wasn't mean to Nan either.
It's a joke.
It all boils down to is that God loves us, each and every one, the same. Mm-hmm. And that God has angels like Connie in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Pastor Marcia travels, you know, to different places. And whoever you talk to, I'm sure that you bless people. Nan works in at the educational facility and is able to, with some restraints, mm-hmm. but at least they know that she's there.
Right, exactly.
And that she walks and talks her faith.
Amen.
And that, you know, we can still do that in the workplace. We're not allowed to, there are restraints in, you know, talking about the Lord in the workplace. Prayer and things have been taken out of school. We can't really do that anymore without getting into trouble. But you know what? The Lord knows our hearts.
Amen.
And he looks at each and every one of us and says, thank you. Thank you to Connie. Thank you to Nan. Thank you to Pastor for what you do, because it's not going unnoticed.
Right. Amen.
And it's amazing what this radio ministry does for people around the country. People are shut-ins. People that just, you know, want to hear just a word of encouragement for
Amen.
Their lives, because
Amen.
They feel like they're walking in the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. It's amazing what God can do
Amen.
When we let him.
Oh.
Amen.
Oh, you are so right. Let's listen to this song, Jesus Is. Is that Jackie Velasquez?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Is, and then we'll talk more on the other side of it, Betty and Connie.
You are my
is everything I need. That's what Jesus is. I love that song. I have not heard that. That's what Jesus is.
That song, I was listening to Christian music on the cable TV.
Right.
And I heard the song. And so I went to look at it on iTunes. I wrote the stuff down. I always have pieces of paper everywhere, scraps of paper that have songs and the performer on them. They're everywhere. All over my bedroom dresser, everywhere. And so I went to look to see what if I had the CD. I've had that CD. It's been sitting on the shelf forever.
Really?
I didn't pay attention to when the copyright was, but
it's a great song. Phenomenal. Jesus is. He's all these things. Yes. Betty, what is Jesus to you? And how do we communicate that to a hurt and dying world?
Jesus is my rock, my salvation, my deliverer, my best friend.
Amen.
My number one priority.
Amen.
I could go on and on and on, but I think the best way to describe it is that he's a trusted friend.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
A confidant.
Yes.
Someone who that we should talk to more than we do.
Amen.
I think that it comes down to that getting in prayer is my time with him. And if you have children, if you have things that are not just going the right way, talk to him like I'm talking to you right now.
Exactly.
You can talk to him in your car. You can talk to him in the barn. You can talk to him on the beach, at the causeway. Wherever you are, he is too.
Amen. Amen. And I think, Betty, a lot of times it's hard for people to really get that concept down on the inside of them. It's almost like God seems to be a distant entity, that he's more concerned about other people than he is us, that he's busy, he has too much on his plate. I mean, kind of comment on that. I hear this from people all the time. I don't want to bother God with that, they say.
Well,
you know?
It's like he's you know, like the king, when you have to like get an appointment to see the king, and please, kind sir, could you please you know, and
right,
I'm like, Jesus, you got to help me with this, because I'm not doing this right.
Right. Exactly. And he wants it to be that simple. He doesn't want it to be complicated. He wants us just to cry out to him, hey, Lord, I need help right now. And if you can't think of anything else, just say the name, Jesus.
I do that too. And sometimes I just say, Jesus, just know my heart.
Right.
Listen to my heart, because I can't say the words to you.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
Right.
And I said, I will. A lot of times I just say to him, please just listen to my heart.
And this is what it's all about, that we get so basic in our Christian walks that we realize that God does see our hearts, and that he is wanting to heal the hurt there. He's wanting to minister to us in areas where we need the ministry. And I think so often we just think, oh, well, you know, I'll just keep that problem tucked way down deep inside of me and never deal with it. And as one real estate client of mine years ago had a plaque, and she was like 90 years old when I went to list their house. I've told this story on the air before, but Virginia. And I walked into her kitchen, and I was measuring her kitchen and everything, and there was a plaque on her wall, and it said, "He who stuffeth puffeth." And I've never forgotten that, because so often, if we don't deal with things, it's going to come out in an explosion someday, you know? And it is so vital that we learn to deal with our emotions and deal with our hurt and our pain. Betty, talk to me about all that.
Well, I think that you're correct, but what we were talking about just a few minutes ago is sometimes people's sin, they think, keeps them from talking to the Lord.
Exactly.
And I know the Bible says, as parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him.
Right.
He knows us inside and out, keeps us in mind that we're made of mud. Men and women, we have that golden opportunity to communicate with him as we can with our own father, or now our Heavenly Father. And they think just because they can't seem,
right,
and this is faith, you know, you have to have faith that you talking to him, expressing your needs and your desires, and then you come into a realm of, thank you, Lord, for hearing me.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for what you do for me. And it's just like you can almost, it's almost like a concert in a big coliseum, an arena, that you hear these thousands and thousands of voices raising their voices in praise, and
yeah,
that you can see the smile on his face that he's saying, hey, thanks for talking to me. I mean, if he could just appear before you, go, hey, thanks for talking to me today, because you are my child and I do care about you, and I care about that you know your fingers hurt because they're ridden, you have arthritis. But reach out, touch me, and you will be healed. I mean, it's that simple.
Amen.
And I think people are more caught up in the things of the world. And
yes,
when I say that, I mean, we got to get to the store. I've got to, if you're in school, I have a paper that I've got to write.
Right.
I've got to get the car. I got to get the oil changed in the car or whatever. Or there's a television show that, you just have to watch. But if you would take that time, I fast. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I fast by not watching some television every now and then, and I give that time to the Lord.
Sure, I didn't used to,
but I do now. It's like I take something that I could be doing, but I take the time and I give it to the Lord.
Right.
And we have to do that to be able to reach that communion with him.
You know, you're so right.
That makes sense.
Totally,
yes,
and completely. You have a daughter. I have three kids and grandkids. And yesterday the phone rang, and it was my grandson, Levi. And he does not usually take time to call his Nana Florida. And I said, Levi, it's so good to talk to you. And, you know, we had probably one of the best conversations we've had in a real long time. He took the initiative, Betty, and called his Nana. That's amazing. And I was grateful. And it's like our Heavenly Father is that way. You know, we take the time and to talk. And he just started telling me this and that. And I was asking him about this class and that class and his new iPad that the school gave all the students, which is amazing to me. I mean, crazy, with a leather binder. It's got his name on it and all this stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, that's pretty darn cool. And I mean, he had a lot to tell me, and I wanted to hear it, every bit of it. And it is so like our Heavenly Father, Betty, that we need to be telling him, Connie, these basic
everything
things that's going on in our lives.
Everything.
Did you get a new iPad? You know, I mean, even God wants to know about that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, people think that he only wants to hear prayer requests.
I know.
When did that happen?
Right. He just wants to chat.
Where is that in the Bible?
Graham
just
Cook says,
just contact me when you have a prayer request.
No, it's not like that. Graham Cook says that the Holy Spirit is one of the funniest people you'll ever know. And he just talks about the humor of God. And I find that some of the things that God does rather humorous myself.
I do too.
Frankly, but
I don't know why I got to be the brunt of the joke, but.
Oh, Betty, talk to us about this. I mean, don't you think that part of being courageous is coming out of the way we've always done things? Okay, I'm going to throw this at both of you.
Okay.
Coming out of the way we've always done things, the lackadaisical attitudes, perhaps procrastination, complacency, all of that laziness that we all are prone to, and being courageous enough to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be a soldier for the living God. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit more than I ever have before. I'm going to be courageous enough to be on the front line in an army of 10,000 that's praying and believing God for revival. I am going to take my place on the front line. Whoa, I don't know about y'all, but I think that takes a lot of courage. Connie, you first, then Betty. Whoa.
Well, I read a quote the other day that said, people always ask me why I take the road less traveled.
Okay.
And I say to them, why do you assume that there's two roads?
Whoa. Okay. So that's what we need to be doing. That's where we need to be.
You set your mind on where you're going to go,
right,
what route you're going to take, and you stick to it.
Exactly.
So you set your mind that you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ,
right,
and you're going to stay in tune, stay plugged in to Him, the Holy Spirit, God, and you walk your walk.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that you don't stumble, fall down.
Make mistakes,
hurt somebody by some stupid thing you say or whatever. But you are forgiven. You ask for forgiveness and you get up.
Right.
And start over.
Amen. Talk to us, Betty.
I think that you hit on something that it takes courage to be brave, especially when you're going through pain. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're in danger, and that can be both in the mental and the physical realm, or even the spiritual realm.
Right.
Maybe a year or so ago, I wouldn't have typed what I type, words of God, because I felt like that I was dry, stagnant, had a lot of things going on in my life, and you know what? I let a few walls down, and it's amazing. It's like this flood, which was, I think, was the Holy Spirit. I had friends who were encouraging and that took the time out of their busy schedule to say, hey, God loves you, and this is what He wants for you. I had poems were given to me. I had words of knowledge given to me, and because people actually took the time, they were brave enough to step out of their everyday life and say, hey, I have something for you that the Lord, maybe because I wasn't listening, because I had all of these walls and I had all of these religious type of things in my mind that, oh, I can't do that. That's not for me. God wouldn't talk to me. Oh, right. Yes, He can.
Amen.
Oh, yes, He will. And it all comes down to surrender.
It does. It does come down to surrender.
It all boils down to God, use me. And there's a something that really has always been on my heart is kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And being a part of a children's ministry, and I may be speaking, this may be for someone out there who feels like that they don't have that gift to be able to minister, whether it be for kids, whether it be to be in nursing homes or whatever. But God, if you take that step of faith,
right,
if you become courageous and say, okay, Lord, I mean, even if it's just a, okay, Lord, step out, try it, and watch what happens.
Amen.
It opens up a whole brand new life for people if they would just take that step of faith, be courageous, and say, okay, Lord, use me.
You know, that is exactly right. And when you're saying all that, it takes me back to the story we started with earlier here on this show. Well, one of them, there were two, Aeneas and then Tabitha. And in Tabitha, in that story, Peter gets down on his hands and knees beside the bed of a dead woman and asks God what to do. He doesn't just run in there like he did with Aeneas. Aeneas, he immediately knew what to do. He just jumped right in and said, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, get your mat, and get going. But in that situation, he gets the mind of the Lord. And then it is his responsibility to act on what God tells him to do there. He could have sat there in disbelief saying, there's no way that I'm going to raise a dead person. Because this is the first account of Peter raising a dead person. You know, Jesus did it. But here's Peter for the first time. And, I mean, he's just called a man who's been paralyzed for 8 years up off of his bed of paralysis. But this is another ball game. When you're dead. Now, we started this show with awake my soul. And we, you know, I come alive when you breathe on me. Mm-hmm. And I believe with all my heart that there are listeners out there today who need to come alive because God wants to breathe on us in a new way. He wants to show us that He can use us.
Amen.
Doesn't matter everything that you have failed at in the past. Doesn't matter how far away from God you've wandered. It doesn't matter how sick your body is right now. It doesn't matter. Any circumstance that you have is not too big for God to move and act in your behalf. That's not too big. That's it.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's a bell ringer. Yeah, there we go. It's a bell ringer.
Ding, ding.
Woo! So why not rise up? Why not speak life to dead bones of people around us in the spirit? Okay, somebody very close to me has been very depressed and discouraged for the last few months and has been an outcast, even though they were a worship leader mm-hmm. in a church. They have been an outcast because of going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I have just been speaking life in the spirit to that person. That very person, God is moving in their lives today.
And he's the one that gave you
this song. He's the one that gave me this song, this first song that we used today, Awake My Soul. Betty, comment on all this, will you, before we get to this next song?
Well, I think that when the dry bones actually become back together, that the lifeless eyes will be bright.
Woo!
That they will see a new direction in their lives, and it will be a new day.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's amazing what happens that when you think you're at the rope's end, you know what? The Lord drops in another lifeline.
Right.
And all you have to do is just grab onto it and hold on, because you're in for the ride of a lifetime. And that's there's so many people out there that are stuck in mud, mire, and just a bunch of junk.
Exactly.
And I think that once that junk is gone, that when pastors look out into their congregation, they will see life.
Amen. We declare it right now by faith.
Amen.
We declare it at Beacon of Hope. We declare it on this radio outreach ministry. We declare it in the nursing home ministry that people are coming alive. To the last two nursing home events for us, and it's the first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden in Clearwater. The last two, it has been amazing, the attitude shift in those people. We're singing songs right now. We're singing songs like I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, and When We All Get to Heaven, and things like that. And I mean, they're entering in. They are singing. They're rejoicing. They're participating. It's not like they're just sitting there in their wheelchairs in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. They're coming alive, mm-hmm. and they're learning to praise God. And if they can do it at age 90, 100, whatever they are, it is high time for those of us who are slight bit younger to rise up in the spirit of God and become all that God has called us to be. It is time. Amen. Let it rain.
Wait till you hear this.
Woo! Let's hear it by Jesus Culture.
You better
Culture.
Sit down, Betty, because you're going to fall.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates.
I speak to those dry bones right now that are out there in radio land. There are many of you that are listening right now that know that you need to get serious about your relationship with the Lord. That it's just been one of those things that you put off till tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit would say, rise up, my dear one, my beloved, rise up and become all that I have planned and ordained for you to become. From the foundation of the earth, I saw you, saith God. You are the apple of my eye. You are my loving, beautiful child. I created you just the way you are. You are unique. You are my child. Rise up and catch the wind of my spirit in the sails of your life, and let's sail on this path that I have for you. Rise up. Do not any longer spend all this time spinning your wheels and saying, another day I'll get serious about my relationship with the Lord. Another day I'll read my Bible. Another day I'll worship God. Another day I'll praise Him. No, today is the day. Now is the appointed time, saith the Lord. This moment is the time to get so completely serious about your relationship with me, saith God. Rise up and become the soldier I have called you and created you to be, saith God. That is my desire for you. Now just do it. My.
Wow.
Wow. You there, Betty?
I was kind of in the spirit here.
Did you doze off?
Yeah, no, not at all. You know what's funny is that it's pouring down rain here.
Ooh, praise God. Praise God.
The wind is blowing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think that it's time for the rain to wash over us.
Amen.
Cleanse us and bring us into a new light in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's amazing what those words that you spoke just a few seconds ago were what some of your listeners need to hear, that it's a new day.
Amen.
Be the Tabitha. Mm-hmm. Be the, was it gazelle?
Mm-hmm.
Be that woman that wakes up.
Yes. Yes.
And hears what the Lord has to say.
Yes.
And we can do that if we think, you know, we think of the actual dead, the body being deceased, but our spirits can also be dead.
Mm-hmm. Our emotions, yes.
Our emotions, everything from our healing to our healing our minds, our spirits, our bodies, that it's time that the Lord is telling you to rise up.
Yes.
And hear what He has to say.
Amen.
Get into His Word. Praise Him for what you have asked for. Thank Him for what He has done, and the truth will set you free. You'll be so free. You'll be so free indeed. I get a little excited and a little radical when it comes to I've been there, and I know what it's like.
You've been dead too, haven't you, Betty?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Many, many, many years sitting and just doing nothing.
I mean,
I could sit in a lawn chair and look out into the north and just stare for hours and wonder, what is my life?
Right.
What is my life coming to?
And I believe there's people like that right this moment that are listening to this show or who will listen to it on the website, who are feeling that same depression, that same discouragement, that same purposelessness, you know, like they have no hope and nothing. I'm in the middle of writing my fourth book right now, and this one is going to be a barn burner. And the title of it is Strength for the Fight. And it has to do with basic training for battle and about really rising up and choosing to be the soldiers in this last day and not allowing people, circumstances, depression, anxiety, fear to rule us, but us instead rising up to a new level in God. And that is the call of this radio outreach. Rise up, people. Don't allow the devil to keep you down any longer. We invite you to be a part of this ministry. We are actually starting a new campaign. We're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, where you become a partner here, and we want you to realize that there are people like you out there. They may be crazy like Betty in Indiana, who has a big old horse farm. Mm-hmm. There may be crazy like Cedric here in the engineer booth, who's got a heart, a sweet, sweet heart. Then there's crazy Nan. I keep using the word crazy, but we are all just different, and mm-hmm. and we are unique in our own way. Connie, mm-hmm. talk to me about this. God wants to form a group. Betty's calling for 10,000. I'm agreeing with her.
I agree. I think there's at least 10,000 of people just like us who want to get involved and yes. want to get on board
right.
and are ready to saddle up their horses and ride with us.
Saddle up those horses.
It's like, you know, it's the Calvary coming, man. We're taking it.
Because it's the last days. We don't know how long we have. We know that prophecy is being fulfilled every day. So it may be very, very close to the return of Jesus. And we don't know that, but it's time to not waste any more time. It's time to not waste time.
Right. And I think as I'm looking out my window and I'm watching my horses walk in the rain, that it's time that we get off of the sidelines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's if the Lord is calling you, hear the call. I heard the call many, many years ago, and you know what? I am not sorry that I did. I took that step of faith and I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want. Okay, Betty, let's start here." And he's been preparing us. He's had us in a workshop. He's training us to be mighty warriors for him.
Amen.
And I want to be on my horse, ready to ride.
Exactly.
And I want to take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want to look that the devil in the face between fear, anger, death, all of these, I want to look them, and I want to be on the front lines with you guys and saying, look, I've had enough.
Amen.
You've held us captive too long.
Amen.
And it's time.
Amen.
For the people of God to rise. And I always tell you, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Yes.
Oh, amen and amen. There's somebody out there right now who's got serious eyesight issues. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to your eyes right now. By the name of Jesus, I say to you, eyes be open, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's got a heart condition. You've got problems with a leaky valve, and God wants to heal that valve right now. So I speak healing to you right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's got serious diverticulitis. Okay, mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Be healed right now, because God wants to heal you. Somebody's got some kidney issues to the extent that you are getting ready to have to go on dialysis. I speak to you now in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Rise and be healed. There is somebody right now whose stomach is eat up with cancer. We speak life to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we come against the cancer in the name of Jesus, and we pronounce life and healing to your physical body right now. There is somebody that's got such pain in your knees that you are walking around in pain all the time. It hurts you to even walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Whoa.
Wow.
Let's repeat track mm-hmm. two, Awake My Soul, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Breathe on me, breath of of God, breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God resurrect me.
Now slow the ice. Okay, sorry, go ahead. Awake, awake. That is the word of the hour. Whoa, Connie, do you have a quick... We're going to keep that song in the background. Do you have a quick word?
We need to speak life. Speak life, speak life.
Yes.
It's too... Life's too short. You got to speak life to people. Stop with the fighting. Stop with the arguing with people. It's time. You just got to make amends, and you got to speak life and join arms. Let's go and do this job.
Woo! Amen. Betty.
I agree totally and wholeheartedly that it's time. The word for the hour is surrender.
Amen.
Give it all you can and be proud of what you've done.
Yes.
Because the Lord loves us each and every one the same.
Woo! Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Connie. You can be a part of this ministry. Just go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And PayPal is there. People, different listeners have been contributing, and it's been helping tremendously. So go there, be a part of it, get involved financially. BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. Go to PayPal, give your tithe, your offering. We encourage you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us for service. Wednesday night is interactive Bible study, and it is amazing. And we had one of the best ones we've ever had last Wednesday night. It was just fantastic. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Sunday morning is at 10:30. And then, of course, the radio show every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And what a joy to be able to share the word with you. Our prayer ministry is active. It is. It's vibrant. We encourage you to write an email for any need, anybody you know, somebody you work with, your relative, your friend. It doesn't matter. Give us a first name. Somebody, you don't have to tell all the life story. Just give us a name, and we will pray for that individual, that situation. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. So go to our website, find out more about us, and come alive, come alive, come alive. This has been Connie. Start it over. So let's start over with Awake again. Connie Farmer, God bless you. Betty.
I'm alive.
Betty Thomas, you're great. Nan Watson, what a joy. And Pastor Marcia McAllister, God bless you. We're going to go out with that song again. Here we go.
God, breathe on me.
to you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe away. Life to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own, the only one who satisfies my soul.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.